Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my friend, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Hello.
As you can tell by Kareem's cough, one of the reasons we were not here last week was illness. We'll get into all the maladies in the room in a little bit. Plus, they've cracked the Liberty Bell case, but it's not what you think. We have a new segment called Who's Being Shitty to Kids Who Got Shot At in School?
Oh, excellent.
Sadly, it's a longer list than you'd like to think. And also, one thing that I call Meantime in North Carolina.
Oh, Meantime.
In the meantime, before we get to all of that, Jason, Kareem, how are you fellas doing?
Better.
Yeah, I can breathe.
Yeah, you got the thing. Kareem, you've got some sickness in your home.
Yes, me and my girlfriend were sick in the last... I've been sick for 2 weeks, and I'm finally coming out of it. She's been sick for a week and a half, and we found out on Friday that she has pneumonia.
Man.
Yeah, which scared the crap out of me because I was the person who was sick first, so we thought I gave it to her.
Right.
So I spent 2 hours in urgent care this morning to find out that I don't have it, but the doctors think that I'm, well, she said I was headed in the right direction, and if I start to have any of the symptoms I had last week to come back. But yeah, it was one of those fever, mm-hmm. cough that wasn't producing anything, upset stomach. It was a rough week and a half. We found out, I think it was Wednesday and Thursday night, me, her, and the dog all were in the living room asleep.
Oh no.
Because my dog hates it when she coughs.
Right.
So if she coughs, then she'll come. If my girlfriend coughs, then the dog comes wherever I am.
Sure.
So because my girlfriend was coughing more than I was sleeping on the couch. So me and the dog are on the couch. And then I looked over and she was on the love seat.
The whole family in the living room.
Yeah. So that was like two nights in a row. But yeah, so... she got some cough syrup with codeine, so she's been sleeping for the last three nights.
Nice.
Yes. I got some of that, hopefully I can sleep tonight.
Yeah. Sleep's the most important thing in hydration. Sleep and hydration.
So I brought some Pedialyte today.
There you go. Jason, what about you? What felled you from the world of the healthy?
Well, it's hard to say, like with asthma that I have, like, and I thought I had asthma pretty bad, but when I went to the pulmonologist, like the get my pulmonary test done, the nurse was like, "This is really bad." So CJ had been sick the week before that, and she was on amoxicillin. I had an ear infection, so I don't know if I got whatever sickness or cold that she had that led to the ear infection or what, but. That's all it takes for me. Like, I just could get it like a little tiny bug for like it's a cold, and it gets into my lungs, and all of a sudden, like, there's a thing called a peak flow meter, and you blow into it, and it goes up, and it tells you how much the flow you have in your lungs, and how much you're exhaling. So my average is 400. To give you an idea, my boss is like, can blow like 800, and he's a physically fit 42-year-old man, you know?
Right.
So, 400, and that's good for me. That's at a good level. It dropped down to like within Saturday, I started not feeling that well. Sunday, a little bit tired, not that well. And then Monday, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but it used to be. And also, I also worked in a different environment. I worked in a construction office for a while and in a dispensary. Right. I worked in a USAA. Like, it's a little bit different environment than like a 4-person office, you know, where everybody's in the same room. Went into like go to work, but like got up the stairs, was having an asthma attack, could barely breathe, had to take an inhale. I had to take an inhale when I got out of the shower. My peak flow went down to 250. within 24 hours. Oh, wow. So that's a really big decrease very quickly. So, at lunch, I got in the car, I called the doctor, I sent an email, but I was like, hey, I need prednisone. Like,
right.
Look at my information. Like, I'm getting sick. Something's getting me, like, my breathing right now. And it's not headed in the right direction. So
they're going to give you one of those little masks that you got to put with the,
I was supposed to be on order. They're waiting for the funding. I don't know. They're waiting for, I haven't gotten it. I have the medicine for that, but I don't have the actual machine. Cause that's another thing too, is I can sit with that for 15 minutes
yeah.
and that'll actually really open me up and I'll be breathing really good. But without that, like I take the inhales anyhow. It's getting worse now. Like, I'm getting old. I guess that's what it is. I'm getting fucking old. And, like, I get sick. And this year I've gotten sick more times than any other time. I've been on prednisone twice now already. And, like, so I'm just sick of it. But that's just it's the way it is. So I'm on the downside of the prednisone. But that shit, like, you're talking about sleep. When I'm on prednisone, like as I'm talking right now, I'm only on 20 milligrams, but when I'm on 40 milligrams, like I'm up until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a steroid.
Yeah.
Like, and then my mind's racing, going all kinds of different ways. So I have conversations with people and it's like having half conversations because I want to talk so quickly. Anyhow, that's,
I get it.
Yeah. My cousin, my aunt's daughter, Rena, used to have, asthma when she was a kid, so she used to have to do those treatments, so that's why I know about those.
Yeah. My mom came over on Wednesday, she like to help with CJ because I was sick, and Chris went out and stuff. I was like, she told Chris, she's like, oh, I hated it when he went on prednisone because he'd get really moody.
You're on a roid rage, is what you were.
Yeah, he get really moody, and he would get he would be really hyper. So
terrible back knee.
No, seriously, like that's the big reason that I shaved is because I'm gonna start breaking out, and then I'm already like feeling like developed. Okay. So I need to be washing my face and taking care of that because it's I hate it. Dude. I hate it so bad.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my beard is getting so ridiculously big.
It's awesome,
it's
dude.
It's getting crazy. So that being said, you guys do anything good for Easter? Anything fun over the Easter weekend since you just laid around and slept?
I just laid around and slept. I got, I was going to go see Morris Day in the Time Saturday.
That's Morris Day in the motherfucking time.
Yeah. So
clear.
So one of my friends from high school actually moved out here, and he lives in Vacaville now.
Okay.
And so he called me Friday to see if I was, because he had saw on Facebook that I was going. And so I'm from North Carolina, for people that haven't listened to the show. Jim has the North Carolina accent really bad. And so when he called, I answered the phone on speakerphone. And he started talking, and my girlfriend looked at me like, who in the fuck is that?
By the way, in case you're wondering who Kareem was talking about. That wasn't what I thought it was. It's some dude doing karaoke.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, since you mentioned North Carolina, meanwhile in North Carolina, well, there was a break-in. Oh, the ad's going to end in a second. Here we go. Here's the 911 call.
High Point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to Earth.
is that what your friend sounds like?
He sounds a little bit like that, but not drunk.
Because this happened in North Carolina.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza, I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name's Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay. And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else am I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus, I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up.
He's going to clean it up.
So what are you up to? Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. Oh, and did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And did you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
Oh, man.
Well, now you know what would Jesus do. He'd break into the Pizza Hut.
Make a pizza.
Have a pizza and a Mountain Dew.
Oh, wow.
Can you, like, I wonder if he actually ate pizza, like, or if he just ate dough and, like, pieces of stuff. Like, because to be that high-functioning of an alcoholic, to be, like, completely blacked out thinking you're Jesus on the other end, but be able to turn on the pizza oven, pound out some dough, put some sauce on it, some cheese, some pepperoni, and then put it into the oven, get it in your fucking mouth.
Well, here's the thing.
High Point is a sundown town.
Yeah, he told the dispatcher he has schizophrenia, and also said that he moved to North Carolina from Indiana, and then in North Carolina, everybody's treating me mean.
Uh-huh.
That's why Kareem left.
Yeah.
Everybody treating him mean. Yeah. I don't think he looks like Jesus at all, but...
No.
Nah.
And he's risen. And,
poor guy.
And he's broken into a pizza joint. Just saying.
What am I supposed to look like? Jesus.
For Easter weekend, I'll let you go last, Jason, because you had a little kid. It's the important thing. Leslie took me to the Angels A's game on Saturday, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
And we got the best seats. We were behind home plate, and we were in row 9. Nice. But it was right in front of me was a railing, and below that was a 6-foot drop-off, which was the walkway that the Angels players took from the dugout to their clubhouse.
Awesome.
And then 6 feet in front of that was the backstop. So
cool.
I had literally an unobstructed view 6 feet up above the field.
Wow.
For the game.
Did you feel pretty lucky?
It was fantastic.
Did a foul ball come back and it made you crap your pants a little bit?
No. No, we weren't directly behind the plate, so we didn't get anything like that. The other thing that I will say about the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, the food is awful.
Yeah, that's never changed,
dude. It's like a flashback because they flash back to a time when ballpark food was expected to be awful. Let me give you an example of what they fucked up. The pretzel.
Wow.
The pretzel was bad.
How do you mess up a pretzel?
Well, it was kind of burned and, yeah, it was just not good. They fucked up nachos, just chips and cheese.
How'd they fuck up the nachos?
Oh, this is special. The chips were actually burnt. Like the tips of them were black. So the chips were burnt and the cheese, and I don't know how this fucking magic happened, but the cheese, while the proper consistency, was below room temperature. So it flowed like melted nacho cheese should, but it was cold.
That's horrible. That's
so nasty. Cold nacho cheese, burnt chips, and a burnt pretzel. The hot dog they had, the jumbo dog, was okay. It was just okay.
But it was $8.
I think the hot dog, yeah, it was $6 or $8 for the dog.
Yeah.
Everything is $6 to $8. Yeah. One of those stands there.
Right.
And the Dr. Pepper was kind of flat.
Man.
Right? Right?
Was it Aramark? Is Aramark the...
Who knows? I don't believe it is. It's nobody you've ever heard of. Like the big soda concession that they have that's on the outfield wall is 7-Up. That tells you all you need to know.
That does tell you all you need to know.
Because I go up to the thing and I see they've got RC Cola on tap, which I've never seen.
Okay, that tells you everything you
or
need
Or had.
To know.
So I'm like, I'll have an RC Cola. And he goes,
we're all out.
He goes, yeah, that's not working. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right? But
RC Cola's good.
But the Angels win. The Angels win. And they took 3 out of 4 from Oakland. So that was... That was fun. And then we went to Sunday brunch at Firestone, 16th and L here in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect amount of food. in what I ordered. I ordered the waffles, nice little display of waffles, and something, I'm gonna mess up the name. It's the bacon maple something sausage. But it's bacon maple sausage.
Okay.
And it's cased, and it's about 4 inches long, and it's got a decent girth to it. Mm. Best fucking sausage I've ever had.
Huh.
It was amazing. And of course they've got beer because it's Firestone.
Yeah.
And because we got there before 11, the hipsters had not rolled out of bed yet.
Awesome.
And I don't know what time Jesus rose, but the hipsters aren't up for brunch until 11 at least. Yeah. So it started to get crowded when we left, but, not what I would think of as a brunch spot.
Hmm.
Normally, but it was really good.
I'll have to check that out.
Very, very, very impressed, and some nice beer. Jason, what about your Easter with the little one?
Well, so Saturday, you know, she goes to swim class now, so we did swim class in the morning, and then I decided to do a project. Our fence, the gate that goes into our yard. Has been slouching worse and worse to where like then it was like so like where you couldn't really almost even open it now.
Sure.
And one of the things I'd kind of when Chris's dad was in town, one of the projects I suggested was fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris said that maybe I didn't explain it right or whatnot. But I saw exactly how to fix it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, I know exactly how it needs to be fixed. And I thought that I explained that, but maybe I didn't. Or maybe just didn't want to do that job.
I'm going to guess that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So I went and, I'd already had the 4x4, the 2x4 cut and ready to go. I just needed to take the gate off, which sucks when you're doing something like that by yourself. It's really difficult to do something like that by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, I fucking did it. Like, I did it, like, in, like, it took me, like, maybe 25 minutes to actually get it repaired, like, and, like, get the new piece in. I measured it perfectly, got cut right. I mean, you know, used screws this time because it was nailed before. It was, like, a cheap mate, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then my father-in-law tried to drill into it, but it just split the wood more because it was dry rotted wood.
Mm-hmm.
This time I got redwood. So yeah, I fixed it and, then I had to hang it. That took me about an hour trying to hang it right. And then I hung it and it's definitely not aligned correctly, but it opens all the way up now. So like to me, that's almost more important. If I would have set it at the right height, I would have to cut part of the gate off just because that's the way that it is. It's one of those things that like I did and I accomplished and like, I felt like I saw how it could be fixed. I didn't know if I could actually do it the way that I thought it could be fixed. But I did, and I did a great job. So I felt really accomplished doing that.
Did you pull a permit for the job first?
No, fuck that shit. So you can suck my dick.
Did your balls get a little heavier?
They did. And then I was like, you know what? I have some ribs. I have some ribs in the freezer, that I bought that were like hella cheap because they were beef ribs. But I got them for like $8 at Food Source for like four, it was so much. Cooked them in the pressure cooker. Next time I'll cook them for longer. I forgot to take the back skin off of the ribs, which made it tougher to eat.
I thought you were gonna stay on the man.
And
say that you put them on the grill.
Well, no. So I was trying to do it. I didn't have enough charcoal. So otherwise, because I know it's gonna take 3 hours if I want to do it on the grill, and I had enough charcoal for maybe an hour and 20 minutes. So I had to cut my bets and like do the half man thing, which is cook them. No, I mean like this is you got like when you I mean like if you
so his nuts deflated just a little bit.
No, because I still did it. It wouldn't deflate if I wouldn't have gotten accomplished. I set a goal and a task and I completed it, which is what every man should do. And that's the definition is like you know completing the task. But so I put it in. I just cooked it in there for 10 minutes, and then I made my barbecue sauce. I made a maple barbecue sauce from scratch, and glazed them up, like tossed them on the sauce. Then did indirect heat for about 45 minutes, an hour. Just kept basting them and made potatoes and rice. Yeah,
I don't awesome. Need this. We don't need the story in real time.
It was all right. Listen, no, it was awesome. And then Sunday, we CJ had her first Easter. She totally got the hang of it. She was precious looking. And then we went to my aunt's house in Tracy and hung out there for my uncle's 60th birthday and Easter. CJ did another Easter egg hunt, and she was getting them. I was really surprised. she just caught on. She just knows, like,
she'll be finding shit all over the place.
Yeah. So that was it. Got home by 6 o'clock and it was great. It was a neat family day. Like when you have a crazy fucked up family and you have
right.
a good family day and like nobody gets some fights, you know, you actually had some good conversations. That's awesome. So.
Very cool. Have you either of you guys been to Cattleman's?
Yes.
I had never been to Cattleman's, and on the way back from the game, we stopped at Cattleman's in Dixon. Oh my god, it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it's not like stupid expensive. And by the way, I would rather go there than to fucking Morton's. Morton's could eat my balls.
Morton's expensive, is it?
Yeah, and it's not that good.
Yeah.
It's not that good. Go to Cattleman's.
Yeah, no, Cattleman's is especially like going to one in Dixon. Is like gonna be like, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
that's
the motif.
Yes. That's like stopping at Harris Ranch, like going down to LA.
Oh my yeah. God. So good. So good. Anyway, so we've covered Easter. We covered North Carolina, but, let's talk a little bit about Easter in Ohio. this made me laugh. Which is why I'm sharing it on the comedy show. LaDonna Hewlett, she's a 54-year-old Ohioan. She spent Saturday afternoon in a carousel park in Richland, which is midway between Columbus and Cleveland. She appeared intoxicated, according to a witness who spoke with police. Now, at one point, there's her mugshot, guys. she had her photo taken with the Easter Bunny, as every 54-year-old woman does. And... it was then that she allegedly made lewd comments to the bunny before hopping on the carousel. Sadly, a Mansfield Police Department report does not further describe the inappropriate words reportedly whispered in the victim's giant ears. The video shows Hewlett perched on the Easter Bunny's lap with right hand on the character's crotch.
Wow. Jesus.
There you go, guys. watching this, a female onlooker can be heard saying, "Oh my, this is a kid's event." When the officers confronted her, she displayed various signs of intoxication, like slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, and a generally wobbly demeanor. She was arrested for public drunkenness and booked into the county jail.
Oh.
By the way, she was convicted last year of aggravated assault. She's not facing charges, though, for inappropriate comments to the Easter Bunny.
No, because the Easter Bunny's not going to press charges.
Although I would think the grabbing of the Easter Bunny's crotch would suggest sexual assault.
Yes. I wonder who's in the costume.
Hashtag me too. you all right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. I don't want to get into the nooks and crannies of this whole thing, but we are in Sacramento. And Sacramento has been in the news nationally for the past couple weeks now. So I don't think we can completely ignore it because, it's happening and it's a huge, huge story. There was a, unarmed African American man who was shot in, turns out to be his grandparents' backyard by two Sacramento police officers. They shot at him 20 times. And he bled out in his grandparents' backyard. They were responding to a call of someone breaking into cars in the neighborhood and jumping over fences. And when they released the body cam video, it's really hard to see what's going on because they're looking around a corner
yeah.
to see what's happening. And you see them there, and they had been running, so there had been a chase of some sort. And I've said this on the show before. Nothing good happens when you make a cop run.
Yeah.
So the body cam footage, they're running. They're obviously their heart rates are up. They're nervous. This person is in a backyard. It's dark. They yell, "Show us your hands." Then they yell, "Gun, gun." And then they fire 20 shots.
All at once.
Well, when once someone says gun, gun, you're just like, it's him or us.
Yeah. But, I mean, they literally yell, "Show us your hands," and "gun, gun."
Right.
Like, in the same breath.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and you can fill yourself in, Arnold, if you've been suspiciously absent from this. That's what started this. The two cops were put on administrative leave. It's being investigated. The official autopsy is not back yet as of the recording of the show. They're going to have to wait for toxicology, as they always do. The family hired Dr. Bennett Amalu, who is known for discovering CTE and is a former medical examiner for San Joaquin County. So he does have the qualifications to do an autopsy. He's not just, yeah. You know, it's not Bob's autopsy. And he did a private autopsy, and they rolled out the findings of that, none of which was surprising. And if you look at it really objectively, without being like, "I'm going to defend the cops," or, "Oh my God, this is terrible," the first shot hit him in the side or the neck. I forget which one it was. He was never facing the cops.
Yeah.
Is what we found out. But from the shots fired, the first one hits him, that would have spun him around.
Yeah.
And that would explain why, if you look at it from an objective standpoint, how he could have been shot that many times in the back, because most of the bullets hit him in the back.
Yeah. And the echo chamber of shooting, as close as the two officers were, all they heard was each other's shots, and they couldn't. It's a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were trained to shoot in burst. Apparently that's going out the window. I was told by, a police officer I know. So I thought they were trained to shoot like in 3 or 4 round bursts and then assess the situation. But he said that because so many people are training now that they're just shooting.
Apparently. The only thing they found on him, they did not find a weapon. They found his cell phone.
Yeah.
So, which prompted a lot of, people yelling, "Does this look like a gun?" And then it turns out they do make guns that look like cell phones.
Yeah. Which also, I was informed of in the conversation I had with my friend who's a cop. Which I ran into him like really randomly, mm-hmm. Hadn't seen him probably in about 20 years, but I just ran into him randomly and we were having this conversation. And I had remembered seeing that, the cell phone gun, and then you posted it like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a place where making money, no matter how, no matter what the cost of our society is, like a thing, and just the idea that you would, and he told me that the police have known about this thing for like 5 years,
uh-huh.
This cell phone gun for like 5 years.
Right.
So it's something that they've been aware of, that it's been put in their training to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things where it's just a bad idea all around. And so now you put other people who don't have the means to even have one of those things in jeopardy because
mm-hmm.
you want to play fucking 007.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this briefly back and forth on, you know, you and I did in a chat, I think. This whole idea of the gun culture in this country makes things like those quote unquote higher crime neighborhoods even more deadly, possibly for cops.
Yeah.
Because they're of the mindset that everybody has a gun.
Yeah.
Because literally anybody can get a gun.
Yeah.
And the idea, there's ideas, oh, well, California has really tough gun laws, so you can't get a gun here. Well, it's a little harder to get a gun in California, but it's an hour and a half drive to Nevada where it's super easy.
Yeah.
And if you're in Chicago, it's really hard to get a gun unless you drive to Indiana. And if you're in Maryland, it's really hard to get a gun unless you drive to Virginia.
Yeah.
We don't have a national standard. It's state by state. So the gun laws, so you have these neighborhoods where, as we talked about before we came in to do the show, the police only show up when there's a crime call in.
And I've said this before, you have a situation where, and me and my friend talked about this, is you're engaged in a group of people that the only people that you know in that group of people are criminals.
Mm-hmm. Criminals and stars.
Criminals and stars. Those are the only people that you know in that group of people. But if you actually talk to a police officer, they don't really encounter guns that often. My friend's been a cop for 20 years. He's only encountered a gun 3 times in that 20 years, which would tell you that your training to expect a gun every time you go on the street should be a little different.
Right.
Than, you shouldn't be trained like, so, deadly force shouldn't be the first thing that you go to if in 20 years you've only encountered a gun 3 times.
I just don't understand how anybody, like, I just don't understand how anybody can look at the situation and think for a nonviolent crime that this was the outcome that should have happened. There's no way in any world, like, I don't understand, like, how in any place, like, where this is the way, this is, like, that's why, like, for me, this is so, like, I realize that it's a tough, I get it that it's tough on the cops, and I don't want to think that, like, I don't have any, like, compassion for cops and how hard, their job is, especially when they're seeing everybody, when they do encounter criminals, which is every day because that's what they're doing.
Right.
Like, those people, the bad ones want to kill them. And if they had a gun, they would kill them. So they're always, I get that's part of it. But at the same time, like, there's a reason that A, that they get special training. B, there's a reason that they get bulletproof vests. C, there's a reason that they have many different types of weapons and things that they can use when in a situation. But when you're in a situation and you're responding to a nonviolent call, like in your first hesitant, like in the time that they saw him and like where they actually came into contact or within any contact of him, 17 seconds from like when they actually came into contact with him to them shooting and killing him. Like that was how they engaged him. That's how they
and the other thing about the encounter was, okay, so he was in the backyard. You have a helicopter over front that has infrared vision.
Right. Now the part of the problem that we really didn't see is the helicopter was on the other side of the house. So it was circling around, and you didn't really get the great look until the firing started.
Right. But the other thing about that is, so at that point, you could have pulled back and been like, okay.
We know where he is.
We know where he is. Mm-hmm. Call the K-9 unit. We can send the K-9 unit in to get him. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of mistakes that were made. And, yeah, there were 17 seconds of interaction, but the call that they got was there was someone who was going through the neighborhood with a tool, smashing car windows. Someone had an encounter with them in their driveway. Their thought process is this is somebody who is potentially dangerous to people in the neighborhood. Now, that doesn't mean that what they did was just, I'm not even throwing that out there because I don't think it was. I think honestly, the most fair thing to say about these two, and maybe I'm being way too generous to them, they got into a situation where their adrenaline was running high, they got scared, and they overreacted, and they made a fatal mistake.
Yeah. And one of the things that me and, I think it was when I was talking to him, was that sometimes the training itself takes over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the situation, but you're not dealing with the situation. You're handling the situation from your training.
Right.
Which means you're not, you're not really handling the situation that's in front of you. You're reacting to it the way your training teaches you, which means
you're not thinking.
You're not thinking.
Well, and they've changed how they've, like, ever since Blackwater got involved with training the police forces over the last, you know, like, what is that, 15, 16 years? Like, yeah. Really, like, I mean, like, that's.
Well, Blackwater and the Israelis, so.
What's really interesting to me, as I am a fan of the TV show Dragnet and Adam 12, which were on in the 60s, and were essentially it was a bit of a propaganda tool for the LAPD. But the things that they talked about in terms of wanting to get rid of bad officers, not wanting to have cops who had tempers, not wanting to have cops that were reactive, but to have people who didn't panic, people who could think on their feet and not be reactive to stuff. That still applies today, but yeah. I don't know how that factors into how they're trained to do their jobs.
Yeah. And I know that part of it is the training. There's something wrong with the training. And I'm going to say this because I had a conversation with another friend of mine about the Walter Scott case and about Walter Scott being killed, being shot in the back by the cop.
Now, just remind everybody.
That was in South Carolina.
Okay.
And he was running away from the police officer.
Right.
And this person told me that they probably would have shot him too. And I'm like, I know you as a person. So I know that you wouldn't just shoot somebody in the back. When that let me know that it's something that with the training.
Right. So the idea that is being put forth that all cops or most cops or whatever percentage of cops are doing this because they're racist and they want to kill black people, I don't think that holds water. I mean, yes, there is an inordinate percentage of African Americans who are killed by police, but part of that goes to the idea of the dangerous neighborhood, the training, and the only people that they encounter from that community are people who are criminals.
Yeah, but part of that is, the other part of that is, it's implicit bias, which means you don't see, when you see black people, you see them as criminal.
Right.
As less than.
And so you,
he's probably up to something.
Yeah. So my niece just posted a video this afternoon of a white girl that got arrested. Got left in the cop car, and she stole the car. Like, she got out of her handcuffs. She stole the car and went for a joyride.
Mm-hmm.
They caught her. She didn't get beat. She got arrested.
Right.
She's sitting in the front of the seat. I remember, she's like, I seen that.
Yeah, video. So she got arrested. There's another video that it's been out for a while, but somebody else posted, of a white guy who fought the police. And the police pulled their guns on him, but they didn't shoot him.
Right.
The guy who shot up the Parkland school, he shot up the school and then left with the other students.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, the Austin bomber.
Yeah.
They let that guy, like, they were just letting him.
Yeah. So the
until he blew himself up.
Yeah. Right. So the fact that these people are walking away, who've actually committed crimes, real crimes, they get to walk away. And you're killing black people for
sometimes nothing.
For nothing, yeah. So that's the.
And here's the thing. Even if Stephon Clark had an implement and was walking through the neighborhood smashing windows, that doesn't mean.
Right.
That what happened was just.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know that there is such a thing as justice for him and his family. I really don't. And it's sad. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Here's what I do. And this is just my opinion. I think if you're a cop and you make a mistake especially a fatal mistake. You need to not be a cop anymore.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So, and not that, but I mean, if it's an honest mistake that goes with your training, but it was a mistake, not done with malice, not done with forethought, the very least that needs to happen is you need to not be able to be a cop anymore.
Yeah.
And if we can start to do that, I mean, I think that's the very least that we can do is to go, you're really not cut out for this sort of work.
Yeah.
You would do that to somebody who couldn't handle the lunch rush at McDonald's. Why can't you do that to a police officer?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who makes that sort of mistake on their job. Now,
if you ended up with a till at McDonald's that was off by $3, if it was off by $3, that was grounds for immediate termination.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and I understand there's a police union, and I understand all the things that go along with that. But if you started making that a policy, go look, if you kill somebody accidentally, now this is not a situation where there was malice. You made a decision that you knew was wrong to shoot somebody. That's a different thing. That's charges.
Yeah.
That's charges. But you made a mistake. You saw something you thought was a gun. Everybody yells gun, gun, gun. And you're like, oh, fuck, it's him or me. And you shoot. The least that needs to happen is you need to not be able to be a cop anymore.
Yeah.
And if you think that sounds harsh, I don't think you're even remotely able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, because that's somebody who isn't going back to his family.
Yeah.
No matter what. And for all of the people who are posting, well, they gunned him, because you'll get the same people who will do this. They gunned him down in his grandma's backyard. His grandma had to hear this. They will also post, the cops didn't know he had a record when they shot him. Well, they also didn't know it was his grandma's backyard. So it's just a shitty situation. And the protests in Sacramento have been, for the most part, peaceful. There's been a couple of small incidences, but nothing given the circumstances that would make you go, oh my God, some woman had her rear window smashed out by one asshole.
Yeah.
But I don't know what led up to that. It was when they were blocking I Street. Lady got hit by a sheriff's car at a slow speed, but they're walking around in the middle of the street, and it was the second sheriff's car.
Yeah.
So when I first heard about it, I go, oh, God. And then when I heard it was the second car, I'm like, what were you doing? And apparently this woman is a grandmother. And I'm like, Grandma, you need to know better than that.
Yeah.
Get out the road.
Yeah.
Get out the road. Hopefully she's going to be okay. Her lawyer, I believe, is handling all of this now.
Yeah. That investigation got turned over to the CHP.
Yeah, of course. As it should.
Yeah.
As it should. The California Department of Justice is investigating the shooting.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. There's probably going to be more protests. Because there is a decent possibility that, depending on what the toxicology comes back at, that they are going, and the way the rules are written, that this shooting will be deemed a justifiable shooting.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah. I always go into it with the expectation that there will be a justifiable shooting.
Right. And God, doesn't there need to be something else?
Yeah.
Like, we fucked up. God damn it, we fucked up.
Yeah. So,
sorry, but then there'd be liability issues if that happened.
Well, they still end up paying out.
So yeah, they're gonna pay out.
So
yeah,
it's not that. Yeah. So,
don't say that this, because when you say it was justified, it makes it sound like he deserved what happened to him.
So the other thing that came out in those last 2 weeks was Alton Sterling, who was killed by the police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Right.
So the cops in his case didn't get charged. And they finally released the body cam footage from that shooting. Turns out they held on to that footage until Trump got elected.
Right.
and they held on to the information until after an election so that a more favorable administration would be brought in. Mm. And then they fired the cop. Mm-hmm. So they didn't charge him, but they fired him. And then the other one got suspended because you hear him.
I believe the one who shot him has been charged, or am I wrong about that?
They didn't get charged. He got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got one got fired and the other one is on suspension. I think he's going to get fired too.
But here's the cop that shot him should never be a cop anywhere ever again.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. He is not of the proper mindset to be a law enforcement officer. Or even a security guard who's allowed to carry a firearm.
Yeah.
Because there are private security companies in a lot of places in this country who are subcontracted out by police forces to do police work. Whether it's in security in certain areas, but they are given the authority to pull people over, to give them tickets, and anything else a police officer would do. Private security people.
Yeah.
Some of them have proper training. Others of them,
yeah.
But if you shoot somebody who didn't deserve to be shot and it was an accident, the least you can do is you cannot do that anymore.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. And you know what? There'll be people who would yell at me all day long for that.
Yeah, but fuck them. I mean, I'm sorry, but like seriously, like, You can't have that type of mistake, like, and have it, like, just, like, that's not.
Much like your victim, you shouldn't be able to come back from that.
No, and like, you get to live. You get, yeah. You're gonna live at least. Like,
right, and you can go do anything else you want to.
Yeah.
There's no reason why that is not a completely acceptable outcome, you know, for, like, but the thing is like what it all comes back to, somebody I know that it's really into guns and stuff like that. Like it was like if giving up my guns, if getting rid of my guns, meant that police felt that they were safer on the streets and less kids were getting shot. Adults getting unarmed, black guys getting shot in their backyards because of it, then if that's the cost, then that's what I do. Like, because it's becoming ridiculous.
Yeah, but there are other people who go, look, it's the Second Amendment. It's an inalienable right that I have all the guns that I want.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have such a fucking stupid view of what, the Second Amendment is, because if you read the whole Second Amendment, it's not just what you're fucking talking about, you stupid son of a bitch, NRA fucking lover bastard.
And the Second Amendment is like everything else in this country. It all goes back to slavery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard that part of it, one of the things that I heard recently was, and I didn't know, because they don't teach you this shit in history, yeah. And I don't even know how much of it is true, but it's plausible. So I'll go ahead and throw it out there, that the Second Amendment was written in part to prevent slave uprisings.
Yep.
Yeah, so they could get together and...
Was that true? I don't know, but it's plausible.
It's true.
It's at the very least, it's fucking plausible.
Yeah.
Well, among other things... First police... That's like one part of it. The other part of it is there was Native Americans. There was also invaders from other places. So, I mean, like, it was a much different... You had, like, you didn't know who you were going to have to lay the law down with.
No.
It could have been the slave.
No, it's slavery.
Yeah?
It was slavery.
Well, and I always ask somebody when they start throwing the Second Amendment at me, I go, which well-regulated militia are you a part of?
Yeah. And the...
Because that's the first line. A well-regulated militia being essential to the the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. But the part of it, well-regulated militia,
yeah.
And you're advocating for no regulation, so you're just going to completely ignore the part you don't like.
Yeah, and the slave patrols, first police were the slave patrols.
I knew about that.
Yeah,
that sounds like a disco group, the slave patrol.
Yeah.
Bad disco group.
Yeah, but yeah. And the fact that we won't, the fact that we won't face that part of our history, and we still people still pretend like it's not a part of our who we are as a country. That's why we can't get ahead of it. That's why
either we were slave owners.
Yeah.
All right. So here's where we're going to leave this for now, because it's still open ended. Here's my hope as we move forward that we can actually learn something from this, at least in Sacramento, and make some positive changes so that this sort of thing doesn't keep happening.
Yeah. And the great thing about the good thing about this, and the good thing about this, it reminds you of Sacramento, that the people, the diversity of Sacramento, and you've seen all people of all walks of life in the marches in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing: if you follow anybody who is a local news personality on Facebook, and they are doing Facebook Live specifically from a protest, watch the comment stream. Because, oh my God, the racists.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So many.
I was watching one. Okay, so I'm watching one from the station where I work. It was one of our reporters, and he starts doing this thing, and they were gathering near the courthouse one day. And he's just on Facebook Live, the very first comment. And by the way, dude, your name and your photo are right next to this. It has the N-word in it. Very first one. I mean, there's plenty of them like, why don't they get jobs? They're out there on their welfare. And I'm thinking, listen, man, I took a Friday and a Monday off just to have a staycation and chill. If I felt like my life and the lives of my kids were constantly under threat, I'm pretty sure I could take an afternoon off to go protest.
Yeah.
You know, I could take a half day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You assholes.
It's so much blatant fucking racism, and it's like I saw something like Christiana did one of those things where she posted, she's like, by the way, Sack Peeps, like if you're gonna say racist stuff, make sure that you're, you know, like she's like holding people culpable for it.
I have a bone to pick with Christiana.
Uh-oh.
By the way.
Uh-oh.
So Christiana, former co-host of the show, when the kids did their walkout for the gun violence.
Yeah.
She was very big about how is this really a protest? Because if it's sanctioned by the schools and there's no consequence to the protest, is it really of any value? I forget her exact term.
But
they should face some sort of consequence.
Right.
So.
Because they wouldn't know what the true nature of
sure.
protesting is.
They wouldn't know the real nature of protesting. So then, a couple of days later, I find this article, and I'm scrolling down to find it because I think it's important to get it right. Student shot at Madison schools in Ohio gets detention for school shooting protest. So I write, Christiana, is this the consequences you were hoping for regarding student walkout protests? Radio silence. Absolutely no response. Were you hoping the kid who got shot in a school shooting got detention because he walked out in a protest? I mean, what sort of fucking nonsense? That would be like going, well, what are these African Americans and the other protesters getting out of this if we don't arrest them for blocking the freeway? They should know there's a consequence to those actions.
Yeah.
It's the same nonsense. Just because the people in power choose not to punish you for doing something that you have a right to do it to a certain extent. You have a right to protest. You don't have a right to walk onto the freeway because there is some sort of level of justification is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Where it's not like everybody gets out.
I think that the thing is that like,
I get the intellectual part of her argument.
It just cause that the idea that, the kid, like, everybody wants to walk out of school. Like, it's easy to join a protest of, like, leaving, you know, fifth period because I hate Mr. Nelson, you know? I don't really care about gun violence. Like, and I mean, is that, maybe that, I don't, she works with kids, so I would think that she wouldn't think that that's the, you know, that's what they're using because they really want to protest.
I think she, she got into a high and mighty moment.
And you just called her out.
I did. And then like, she just went, you know what? I'm not even getting into it.
I saw you getting it.
I've done stuff like that before, and every now and then she'll just go, yeah, you got me. Good one. So either way. So yeah, I just want everything to be better in our town. And the biggest fear is that obviously the biggest fear is rioting and people going nuts on both sides. And if you don't think that's possible, then you're not paying attention.
When I saw that there was the protest that was being gathered for on Saturday by the people to support the police, I saw that. I saw that in somebody's
people
post.
People don't support the police. They just want to be agitators.
Oh yeah, I know. They want. Right. They're people in the KKK. Well, maybe it's the racist. It's the racist.
Let me tell you something. I support the police. I support the police who do their jobs and do their jobs properly. I don't support is people who shoot people that they shouldn't shoot. Yeah. Those things are not. There is. It's the same thing as Kareem. Supports the community, the black community, if you're not familiar. But he doesn't just put everybody under that umbrella and write off all of their nonsense.
No.
Because that doesn't help. When you let the bad people in whatever group you're in become the standard bearer for who and what you are, then you have a problem. Whether you're cops, whether you're a minority community, whether you're a corporation, it doesn't matter who you are. You are who you allow to be at the front of what you're doing. And if you don't reject that nonsense will take you over. And that is how you get President Trump. You're welcome. All right. Since I promised, here's who's been shitty to kids who got shot at in school. Frank Stallone, who wished that some kid would sucker punch David Hogg. He has since apologized because everybody went on Twitter to tell Frank Stallone that there was nothing of Frank Stallone's to boycott.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Sly probably went and said, "The fuck you doing? The fuck you doing?
Kid, Frank.
Sucker punch a kid, you fucking mook." Laura Ingraham, right-wing blonde... dipshit.
Took a week off because...
To be with her family, Kareem. To be with her family. And to stop the bleeding from corporations leaving her as sponsors. Because leave these kids alone, assholes. Ted Nugent. By the way, Ted Nugent, who bragged in a High Times interview that he shit his pants for a month so that he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. And that he walked into his draft exam with feces in his pants that had been there for days so that he would not have to go to Vietnam, called these kids cowards. Fuck you, Ted Nugent.
Have you ever shit your pants? It takes fucking courage, bro.
He's a hero.
You have to, if the shit in your pants, it doesn't take courage. Like, you have to.
That's dedication. That's
yes, you have to force yourself to do that.
And then, I wouldn't and even
then
be
to,
mad.
And then to live with it for 3 days.
For 3 days, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even be mad. I'd be like, I'm impressed.
No, that's fine, but don't turn around and criticize these kids.
Fuck you, dude.
And ultimately, it's conservatives.
Oh, no way.
Conservatives, for the most part, the NRA... has done nothing but attack these kids.
Nice.
Our friend Alex Jones.
Nice.
Has been one who has gone through this whole thing. And it's just, I posted this article from Vice that you might have seen. And it talks about the guy who runs the Sandy Hook conspiracy page.
Oh, man, fuck those guys.
It's this one guy. You know where he lives? Not too far from the high school in Florida where there was the shooting. This Vice piece, they interview him and talk to him and let him talk about whatever. And he starts talking about, oh, I spend between 1 and 5 hours a day investigating. Fuck you. You don't know anything. You look on Facebook for bullshit.
Yeah.
You look on Facebook for bullshit.
And what it is he has some guy named, Isaac, that lives, in some small town in Russia that communicates with him. Oh, I got new article for Man in USA. I'm sending him new article from new email from Hot Blonde 72 Big Tits. One guy who, like that's, I guarantee you, like that's, oh man.
One of those guys is being sued for defamation.
Good. You need to be called out on your fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
When you do things like this, it's not okay. In the, anyway. Zuckerberg, get on it, fucker. Anyway, since I promised you about Liberty Bell, well, case cracked against Liberty Bell. Police in Shiloh, which is about 20 miles east of St. Louis, Missouri, were summoned late Friday to a convenience store on a report of a person locked out of their vehicle. The 911 call was placed by a store worker who reported the driver was acting suspicious. Upon arrival, the Shiloh Police Department officers demanded that the auto in question had been reported stolen from a neighboring city, which did not bode well for the 35-year-old Bell, who was arrested for possession of a stolen vehicle. She's being held in St. Clair County Jail in lieu of $30,000 bond on the felony count. She has a rap sheet that includes numerous vehicular charges and prior arrests for things like battery, retail theft, disorderly conduct, domestic battery, and driving with a suspended license. Oh, Liberty Bell. And we liked you, too.
That was not the Liberty Bell I was thinking of.
Right?
You.
I promised it. Finally, I learned something this week. I learned that Kareem is gay. how do I know this? Well, for a donation of $100 or more, which I did not send because I already know the crux of it, this gentleman has a thing called the Americans for the Truth About Homosexuality. Peter LaBarbera will send you a copy of the Mass Resistance book called The Health Hazards of Homosexuality. Dave Dobbenmeyer declares that masturbation is homosexuality.
Oh, because you're a man and you're touching your own penis, that means you a homosexual.
I guess I'm gay then.
Kareem is gay.
So is every single fucking man then. Jesus.
And most of the women too. And Brian Fisher has figured out how to stop the spread of HIV, and that is, of course, to convince all homosexuals in the U.S. to stop having sex with each other. Good luck!
Those gays like to have sex with each other.
Good luck. Good luck.
So wait a minute. So they can't have sex with each other and they can't masturbate.
Right.
Oh, but the kids are cool.
They want them to kill people?
Right? They just want them to explode.
They're going
to
take all the poor kids.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
You know, after this show, which, by the way, not as funny as we normally do. Sorry, it was a little heavy, but...
Hey,
we can't ignore this. I really, really wanted to. Did I, at any point in today's show, bring up the fact that Donald Trump has been documented lying 1,400 times since he was sworn in as president?
That's a fake media, sir.
It's not. It's actually the Toronto Star. They're counting. 1,400.
There's also a liberal publication. It's a liberal Canadian. Those Canadians are liberals.
Sure. It's time for some Marilyn Haggerty. Let's just relax.
Yeah, it's relaxed.
She writes, "Dear Bob and Pat Wood, the way things have been going, you should maybe talk to the other snowbirds flitting around Arizona. Tell them they might want to wait to come home until the 4th of July. I know it'll be nice and warm here by then, and I was just talking to Paul Wayne of the Sertoma Club, you know, the group that sponsors the 4th of July celebration. He tells me the fireworks are going to be bigger and better this year, and by then we feel sure the snow will be gone. Oh, we may have some mosquitoes, but I was reading the fine print in the Herald, and it says the city is accepting bids to help with mosquito control. So there you go. Meanwhile, Easter baskets, the ham, the colored eggs, they're coming out around Grand Forks. We always used to shop around for Easter bonnets, but I think those days are gone. Come rain, snow, potholes, or wind, we will celebrate Easter around Grand Forks. We always do. I know it's beautiful down there on the Arizona desert. I always used to go there in March when my sister Shirley was still living.
Coming to you live from...
Oh, wow. It's your sister Shirley!
She would take us to the Desert Museum and show us the amazing cacti in Saguaro National Park. We had so much snow Sunday I could barely see across Cottonwood Street. They told us it was coming, but I didn't really believe. Then when it happened, I was reminded the forecasters are usually on the mark. That's what she was reminded of. Those forecasters usually on the mark. Oh, forecasters. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. Let's get some music to wrap this so we can finish this up properly. I'd like to end the show with some music. Please. Where are those pictures I was promised? Anyway, Casey Kasem joke. Oh no, iTunes is being a dick. Shocker. All right, fine. Be that way. Be that stupid. Way, iTunes. You're being stupid. You're being so stupid.
Being so stupid.
Stupid. Oh, stupid. Something. I'll find. I'll find something else to play. Yeah. Get the. Fine, we'll do it this way. But you made me do iTunes.
Oh, shit. Know what you're going to do with it.
She continues, life goes on, you know. This week, school's out here Thursday and Good Friday. And, you know, it's spring when we start hearing about birds coming back at UND. Already there's reports from Tim Driscoll of the Peregrine Falcon showing up at the UND Water Tower. Ooh. Maybe by the time you snowbirds get back, there'll be more falcons. Let us know if you see any of them on the way. Meanwhile, a blessed Easter to all of you. We are waiting for you and the birds. Your friend Marilyn dying Easter eggs in the kitchen and watching the snow melt in the backyard.
Aww.
Hey, P.S. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and worry about the peregrine falcon born here 2 years ago named Marilyn. I wonder if she'll ever come back this way again. She may be down there in Nebraska by now.
Man, peregrine falcons are one of the awesomest birds ever. They're pretty dope.
Especially named Marilyn?
Yes.
They can hit another bird out of the sky, knock it out, and grab it, and have it devoured by the time they get home.
They're nice to see from afar.
You know, here's what I would like to do. I would like footage of that peregrine falcon set to this.
They go like 200 miles an hour, so they might be on it.
Sure.
Although my friend Jessica does paragliding with them, with falcons.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either until I saw her do it. She goes to like India and Nepal and places like that and do paragliding.
Paragliding.
All right. Well, that's a good place to leave it.
Yes.
Got a little bit of humor in at the end of the show, but Friday show much lighter.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm leaving.
What did you get summoned?
No, I'm fucking around.
Oh, okay,
no. They're saying it's lighter because you know.
Yeah. Oh,
we're taking one of the dad joke. That was a dad joke.
By the way, that guy just got the community service.
Yeah.
Because he's white. God damn it.
Yet extendos!
Can we put the hammer down on some asshole white people? Please?
Please.
Yeah.
Please. Can we just not go easy on one of these fuckers? I mean, are we going to be out of luck because we don't get this? Anyway, we'll see you Friday. Oh, before I forget, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Would really appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.